In the meantime, allow me to introduce you to a couple of friends of mine. These are Pete Zerger and Anders Bengtsson. I'm going to totally destroy your last name. You know I do that every time. All right, so, but in the spirit of things, I need to tell you the fact that I've been friends with these guys for many, many years. So therefore, I got to have a little bit of fun with them. So let me start with this. Anders over here, I have known for many, many years, and he is from Sweden. And when I originally came to the MVP program, a friend of his was in there also named Bjorn. So you had Bjorn and Anders, okay? And the two of them introduced us to all sorts of great terminology and things that we needed to know about and the rest of it. And I'm not going to use any of his terminology, as he knows is a good thing. But I am going to give him something as a reminder, as a token that he'll get to sign and potentially give out later on today as a reminder. Because when Anders and Bjorn got bored in Seattle, they would look at the rest of us MVPs and they would say straight-faced, we're going to go pillage a village. This is what we heard from the Swedes. So in the theme of we're going to go pillage a village, I'd like to present you with the Viking hat.
Thank you, Cameron.
You're welcome, which we will be able to sign and do as a giveaway. So that is the Viking hat for you.
Yeah, very nice.
We will bring over there and you can sign later. We will fix it as well. Very good. And as they're getting hooked up here a little bit further, so let me also mention, so Pete Zerger here. Anders, in all seriousness, is a great orchestrator, blogger, among other things. Contoso.se is what you may recognize him from. Pete Zerger back here, SystemCenterCentral.com. So if anybody's familiar with System Center Central, and you probably should be if you're in the System Center space, that is Pete's baby. So those are the guys that are going to be in good hands here going forward, and I will get out of y'all's way and let you guys get started.
All right.
He took the helmet again.
Yeah, we both know there's no such thing as a Swedish Viking.
Oh, yeah. Don't start.
Although Anders will tell you different after enough beers. So, welcome, universe. Thanks for joining us today for our master class, Orchestrating Daily Tasks Like a Pro. My name is Pete Zerger. As Cameron said, I'm associated with SystemCenterCentral.com. I'm in the same cloud and data center management MVP group, which has some lineage back to the days when Anders didn't work for the Big Blue Machine. So I'll let my brother from another mother introduce himself.
Thank you. So my name is Anders Bengtsson. I'm a senior premier field engineer for Microsoft, working with the cloud and data center management.
That's it.
Yeah, I think that's it.
That's as good as it gets. All right.
Yeah, let us get started.
So today, we assume that most of you are probably familiar with Orchestrator. So give me a show of hands. How many of you are working with System Center Orchestrator in some capacity? So a few of you, okay. How many are working with SMA today? Who's installed SMA? Who's actually written an SMA runbook? Wow, okay, so I think I saw one hand.
Who had installed but not written a runbook.
All right, yeah. All right. Yeah, so I think what we're going to give you today is a fresh perspective on SMA, what it is really. We're gonna give you a look at when you should actually use SMA, but like you, you know, Anders and I at some point in the past, we're orchestrator-focused guys as well, right? And we, as we say in Oklahoma, we were looking at SMA like a cow staring at a new gate. You know, not quite sure what to do with it, you know, where it fit. So we're going to talk about that. We've got three demos lined up for you today, time permitting. I think we'll squeeze them into 45 minutes. And we want to give you some homework, too. So certainly, I think, and Anders thinks, that in a day, we can have you writing SMA run books, leveraging, you know, some of what you've already built in Orchestrator pretty quickly, pretty easily. So just one more show of hands here. How many of you are running Service Manager today, System Center Service Manager? Another minority. How many of you have SharePoint in-house? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. All right. So we found the sweet spot there. Good. All right, man. So let's hit it. Let's talk about, let's answer that question. What is SMA really? So you've probably heard all of the Microsoft sessions about what SMA is. But let's just look at what we see on TechNet. And this is really where I want to open your eyes right now. So in the next 10 minutes from now, you're going to have a much different picture of what SMA is and where it works than you do right now. So if we look at the TechNet website, it mentions that SMA is an IT process automation tool for Windows Azure Pack, which today is more of a hoster-focused solution. And it enables us to automate the creation, the monitoring, the deployment of resources in your WAP environment. So that, at the end of the day, that winds up being a pretty narrow box. You know, so somebody in Microsoft marketing had to describe SMA, right? And they put a nice boundary around it there, in your WAP environment, which sort of makes me unhappy. I don't work at a hoster, so, you know, WAP is maybe not going to be in most places, meaning almost no places, you know, on its own in the enterprise. So here's the thing, guys. You can take that Microsoft definition, you know, which, you know, we all have to start somewhere, right? And so we start with WAP. But the truth of the matter is very simple. That box was put there by a, you know, somebody trying to describe a very powerful tool. So let's just get down to the truth. There is no box. So I can use SMA for virtually anything.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Fantastic.
Spoken like a marketing guy. Spoken like a Microsoft guy. So what is SMA, Service Management Automation, technically? It's PowerShell workflow. So how many of you out here write PowerShell today? How many of you borrow PowerShell scripts? Come on. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You're my people. How many of you, on the other hand, write PowerShell workflow today? Any hands? Yeah, you are very lonely back there, my friend. That's okay. That's okay. So we're gonna tell you a couple of secrets here in the next 5 minutes. So I want to start with how PowerShell workflow differs from PowerShell. And then we're going to show you why it doesn't matter at all. If you know PowerShell today, 24 hours from now, you can be doing some serious damage. So first off, yeah, and I mean serious damage in a good way, so I heard you chuckle over there. There are multiple syntactic differences between PowerShell workflow and PowerShell. So in other words, there's not a one-to-one mapping of activities to commandlets, right?
No, not really.
Yeah, not really. So, you know, there's a gap we have to bridge there right off the gate. Number two, you can't import modules in your PowerShell workflow. There's no import-module. So we're going to send you to some homework, and you're going to hear Don Jones himself say you can't import modules. Just take that and pitch it aside. It doesn't matter. Next 15 minutes, you're going to learn that we can take all of that PowerShell, or at least the vast majority of it that we're using today, we can pick it up and we can put it in SMA, and we can leverage that in some very creative ways that are actually much simpler than you might imagine today. We really want you to walk out of here today thinking SMA is really a hybrid sister component of Orchestrator that I can leverage in scenarios where Orchestrator maybe doesn't work for my environment today. Okay, look at this one. Everybody focus with me for the next 60 seconds here. This is going to blow your mind here, because the fact is PowerShell workflow doesn't even execute in PowerShell. When you hit that run button, it gets converted to an XAML file, and it's handed off to a Windows Workflow Foundation.
Wow.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's surprised.
Yeah, very surprised.
He's not a very good actor, is he? So end of the session, we've got a link to some quick reading. I think you knock out about half a day. There's a couple of good six-part blog series with some nice PowerShell workflow samples for some very relevant enterprise data center scenarios, like user onboarding, you know, create an Active Directory user, create a mailbox sort of scenario. So you can ramp on PowerShell workflow very, very quickly. Is that a fair statement? Do you ramp up in a few hours?
More or less.
Yeah. So he gets down in his basement and strange things happen, but we'll get to that here in a minute. So when can I use SMA? So let's take a long-running task that combines multiple steps into a sequence.
But we can do that with Orchestrator.
We can absolutely do that with Orchestrator,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Perform a task that runs on multiple devices, multiple servers, multiple network devices.
We can do that with Orchestrator.
Yeah.
No problem.
Smart guy. What's up now? Checkpointing? Persistence?
We can still do it. It will require a little bit more coffee and maybe a cake or something, but we can do it. Database, serious amount of activities.
Yeah, so checkpointing, checkpointing is really tough in orchestrator. Persistence, we would typically use a SQL database, right? Some sort of reference repository where we can store data. So, so I'll give the Swedish Viking some credit there, and we'll assume that he can do that with a little extra coffee. How about performing a long-running task that maybe needs to run asynchronously, needs to be restartable, parallelizable, say that three times fast, or interruptible? You got an answer for me?
I didn't really hear the question there. I lost you there for a moment.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to get selective hearing really quick here. How about running tasks on a large scale, highly available, if I need to control the flow, throttling, pooling?
It's a great question, Pete. Let me get back to you.
What's up now? The fact is, if we go back and we look at Orchestrator sessions and guidance from Microsoft, one of the things you're going to hear repeatedly is Orchestrator is not a connector. We're typically automating processes that were carried out by people. So SMA is going to open up some interesting possibilities there in that it can run activities in parallel very, very effectively. We'll talk about that as we go along. But it's going to open up some new possibilities for scale when you need that connector type throughput. Now, before we get in the console here and get our hands dirty, we want to just sync on some terminology.
Yep.
All right, so in Orchestrator, we have a runbook server.
In SMA, it's a worker.
Okay, so we've got a runbook server, we got a worker.
Easy, yeah.
Global configuration. So you know that area in the options menu where we configure our connections to Ops Manager, Service Manager, etc.
In SMA, that's called asset.
You said it right.
Yeah, I know.
He likes that word, asset. Runbook?
It's a runbook.
It is a runbook. That one's easy. So we got a couple of easy ones here. So variables are still variables, except now they're actually variables. Schedules are schedules. And here's the big one maybe you're waiting for, an integration pack. So SMA doesn't have any drag and drop activities today.
We have modules.
We have modules that we can import into SMA for reuse. So I want to sync on a term you're going to hear a whole bunch today here because it's actually not at all challenging if we just kind of level set on the terminology. We're going to mention a script block more than once. So, for example, in PowerShell workflow, you'll see the sequence activity with a couple of curly brackets here. So no doubt, if you've ever seen like a for each statement in or a function in PowerShell, you have those curly brackets, right? So I could use sequence to say, go pull the information from C drives on multiple computers. And because it's sequential, it would happen one at a time. Orchestrator does that really well, right? Orchestrator's really good at taking my runbooks and making things happen one activity at a time. Now I can flip a bit and go the parallel activity route, and I can execute multiple tasks at once. So I can take that, let's go pull the C drive information from 100 computers, and in Orchestrator speak, we could do that in an automated fashion, one computer at a time. So in SMA, parallel means parallel. So I could literally reach out and grab information from 100 at a time. So if I don't care the order it's coming back, parallel is going to be pretty exciting, and I can actually nest sequential and parallel, so I can create, for example, a parallel workflow with two sequential activity tracks, for example, with simple nesting. Here's the important one. So I told you that it doesn't matter that you don't know PowerShell workflow, and it doesn't matter that there's no import-module commandlet. So let's talk about reason number one why that doesn't matter. So that would be?
It's automatically imported.
Right, so in Server 2012, your modules are imported anyway, right? So that all happens out of the box. So are you guys getting Server 2012 out there, show of hands mostly? 2008? 2003? Yeah, put your hand down. Shame on you.
That's just sad.
So you can use the inline script activity to nest your existing PowerShell. Now, it's not a catch-all, right? We're not going to have every PowerShell commandlet available to us.
No, there are some restrictions. And there's some commandlets you just don't want to run in there, like write host. Why do you want to write host? There's no one watching you.
So this is going to be your get out of jail free card. So when you go out there and read some of that required study we're talking about, and you see it says there's no import dash module, just erase that from your mind. Toss it aside. A lot of good info out there that you're not going to be sweating. So I'm going to shut up and I'm going to let the Viking get on the console here, and we will have a look.
So
remember your Zoom for us. More experienced engineers. Oh, I have to start Zoom for you?
I have it on desktop. So what we see here, what we just saw there, was the Windows Azure Pack portal. And the Windows Azure Pack portal, you can use that to install Azure technologies in your data center. So it's built on Windows Server and System Center, and you can use it to build your Azure technologies internally in your own data center. So if we install it, we get a portal like this, Windows Azure Pack portal. And then when we have installed SMA, we can connect the two of them together. So we have the automation tab here, and we can connect it to the SMA environment.
So you keep saying SMA. I'm looking at the WAP portal here, right?
Yep.
So if I have to install WAP, what happens if I take WAP out of the picture here?
Well, that's a great question, Pete.
Do I still have a console?
No. If you uninstall Windows Azure Pack or you don't install it at all, only install SMA, you can still use SMA, but you will have to use it through the web service in SMA. So you have the SMA PowerShell commandlets that you can communicate with SMA. So you can still do like authoring of runbooks, you can still configure everything and change everything and do whatever you want. But it's quite nice to have a graphical user interface.
Those were a whole lot of words to say no. So we take away WAP, we don't have a portal, right? So he's talking about the web service. So we're going to need WAP. How many servers do I need to install WAP? I've read that I might need a minimum of 7, I might need 16.
Yeah, but there's an express version that needs 1.
Okay, so I can run Orchestrator, I can run SMA and WAP on 1 box.
Yep.
And you've splurged, I think you've got 2 boxes here.
I have.
And I think you're running these in Azure, are you not?
I am.
Yeah, so me too. My SMA environment right now, my dev test bed is in Windows Azure. So you can spin it up on a couple of, I think I'm running small footprint VMs in Azure. So yep. So cheap and easy.
Okay, so we have the Windows Azure Pack portal. We have SMA installed. So we have this dashboard. That's the first thing you see. This dashboard will give us an overview of the environment. We get the overview here of all the jobs. We can see a quick glance here. We can see number of runbooks we have, number of activities, and number of runbooks that we are working on right now. You want to say something, Pete?
Yeah, so I don't see any folders here. So how do I organize runbooks in here?
Yeah, we will get to that.
Okay.
Yeah, in a minute. So we can click assets here, and we can set up all the assets. And assets is connections, credentials, variables, and schedules, and then we can just go and get them from our scripts. So instead of having these like multiple lines of connection in each runbook, we just set it up once, and then we just call that from our runbooks. So runbooks can look a little bit better.
Yeah, so that's part of that reusability and modularity that's actually built in. We don't have to worry much about that.
Okay, so we click runbooks, and then we have all our runbooks here.
Yeah.
Very nice. And we can go to click one here, like this one here.
Can you give me the old people view?
The old people view, yeah. Yes.
Please. There, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So here we have a new dashboard, but this time it will only show this runbook. So now we will see all the jobs again, but this time it's scoped to one runbook. So we can see all the information we have about this runbook. We can go into configure for this runbook. And here's where we have tags, Pete.
All right.
So tags is not folders, but you can use them in the same way. You can tag your runbooks here, and then it's very easy to organize them. So you tag them with, like in this case, I use demo, event, Azure, VM. And if I want to see all my runbooks that has anything to do with Azure, I just search for the tag Azure. So it's quite easy, because sometimes in Orchestrator today, when we have the folders, you want to put your runbook both in this folder and this folder. It like fits in both of them.
Well, yeah. Have you ever had that problem where you have a runbook and you're not quite sure where in your folder hierarchy it goes, or maybe you want to put it in multiple places? So you see tags replacing folders in HTML email applications and news readers, all sorts of places. So if I can tag my runbooks with multiple tags, it sort of, number one, eliminates that problem of multi-category runbooks. And it also eliminates that problem of having to track down runbooks in a folder structure. Or in Orchestrator, I found that I even number my folders as well. So if I accidentally manage to drag and drop them somewhere else, which I do every now and again, this sort of eliminates all that sort of navigation challenge.
Yeah, it's very, very easy to work with. As we have all the SMA PowerShell commandlets, we can easily export all runbooks that has something to do with Azure or something to do with VMs. It's really, really handy. Yeah. Okay, so schedule, we configure when to run the runbook if we want to do that. Jobs, here we can see all the jobs for this runbook. And let me click one of the jobs here. We get all information, like input information, who started it, output information, and so on.
So show us a runbook already. Let's get...
Absolutely.
Let's get to it.
Yeah, so here on the authoring tab, we can see the runbook here.
Okay.
And this is the where we actually author our runbooks. So we have all the code, and down here we can see one of the inline script blocks that Pete was talking about earlier today.
So there's that inline script.
Yeah, and you might also notice that up here we have two different versions. We have draft and published. So in SMA, we can have one runbook that we are using published, and then we can be working on a draft version. And when we have it in draft, we can still test it, and we can when we are done with testing, we can do publish and publish it. And in here, we can also easily do this insert, and we can insert some of the assets that we configured before. So
when you say we can insert the assets, meaning our credentials, our remote system connectivity, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly. Okay? Yeah. And the test, for everyone, just see the name now. Oh, maybe, is that test, or is it like test orchestrator test?
It totally tests.
No, it's more like...
Well, it tests for real, but it tests.
Yeah, it tests, but in the environment.
So it tests in the same fashion that Orchestrator tests. When you hit the button, it's going to do whatever you programmed it to do. So you definitely want to be careful in that respect. There's no what if happening there in the background.
No. Great. I think that was the quick look at SMA.
As quick as you can do.
Yep.
All right. So... when could we use SMA? So I said that box that we have around SMA from the official description on the website, says within, when we're working within our WAF environment. So the official guidance is when you're within the data center, doing things like orchestrated patch management, for example, Orchestrator is going to be the right tool. Now, when you need to go outside your local data center, we want to get, maybe cross-cloud, get into Azure, or the other A word, or we need something that's going to be highly scalable. We need failover, checkpointing, the ability to reliably restart. SMA is going to be a great tool in that situation. So here's where you can start doing this today, and we're gonna illustrate this for you as we move along here very, very quickly. So if you don't have an Orchestrator IP, if you're going to be writing PowerShell anyway, SMA is the perfect tool to be using in this case, because if I'm writing PowerShell for Orchestrator, I can take that and leverage it in PowerShell workflow in SMA. If you're not using System Center Service Manager as your front end, which I think described the majority of the folks in the room right now, right? SMA is going to give us some interesting options there, as we'll show you. Now, if you're already using WAP anyway, if you've got WAP installed for the two people who raised your hands, it's a great excuse to start using SMA, because we've got some integration that's surprisingly simple. But any net new scenario, if you're building from the ground up and you don't have, you know, something already built and orchestrated that you're going to be leveraging, you know, from past work, or even if you do, you know, SMA is going to be a nice option. But to ease the transition, so if you're running Orchestrator today, you've got a lot of assets there, you're worried about leaving all that behind, very easy to leverage Orchestrator and SMA together in your live environment. So let's take a for example. You've got some ticketing system. So I labeled it up there as SCSM. Insert the service desk of your choice. So Johnny or Jane, user, wants to open a service request and you want to do some processing. Your key to integrating these two systems is very simple. So Orchestrator has an OData RESTful web service. SMA has an OData RESTful web service. So we're seeing some parallels there, right? We can initiate an Orchestrator runbook from PowerShell. I can initiate an SMA runbook from PowerShell via both via that web service. So cross platforms initiation here is going to be quite easy. So let's say I open a service request that triggers an Orchestrator runbook, whether we've got Orchestrator monitoring some third-party system or service manager is triggering the runbook, doesn't matter, okay? Orchestrator is doing some bit of monitoring. We trigger that Orchestrator runbook. We can use Orchestrator to launch an SMA runbook to do all of the heavy lifting. When you see how many lines of PowerShell it takes to initiate an SMA runbook, it's gonna blow your mind how not complicated it really is. It's surprisingly simple. So we have that runbook over there that's doing its work. Maybe it's checkpointing, and by checkpointing I mean it's writing its status after major tasks out to a state database. Because what happens if I checkpoint and then I take a worker offline? A worker dies.
That a worker can yet continue.
Can continue, and not from the first activity. He can pick up the state, variable values, etc., and move along. When it's all done, from SMA, we can trigger and go kick off an update in Orchestrator. I can go update a list in SharePoint from SMA very easily. You know, because it's PowerShell workflow. What you're going to find when you open an SMA runbook, which Anders was showing you a minute ago, look at an SMA runbook versus a runbook export from Orchestrator. One is much more complicated than the other. One looks like a simple PowerShell script, more or less, and the other looks like a somewhat more intimidating XML file, right? So under the covers, you're going to find SMA is very simple in that respect. So we can close the loop on ITSM without a lot of effort. So now I'm going to make the man kind of put our money where our mouths are here and take us through an end-to-end scenario. Okay, so what do you have here?
So here we have SharePoint with a list. We add items here when we want a new virtual machine. It's just a simple SharePoint list. We input a server name. Orchestrator monitors this SharePoint site, this SharePoint list, and kicks off SMA. SMA building a new VM, kicks off Orchestrator that updates SharePoint.
Wow, that was a lot of words really fast. Give us a quick zoom here, and let's look at this list. So if you've never created a list in SharePoint, this is totally bingable, something you can do in 5 or 10 minutes. So we've got a nice SharePoint list. We've got a server name.
We pick the size of the server. We pick if we want to have it in Azure or private cloud. Of course, we pick Azure, save on that one. Then we have Orchestrator here with a runbook that is monitoring the SharePoint list. Nothing secret or special there. We use the SharePoint web service to get the data from the SharePoint list, as there are some challenges around the Orchestrator IP there, but that's not a problem. So we get the size of the VM, and we get the location where we want to have it. And depending on the location, we go up here and trigger Orchestrator VMM.
All right, so stop right here. So he's using Invoke Web Service and Query XML to go pull some information from the SharePoint list. But I see now we've got a branch here. We've got the private cloud branch, and it says start VMM. So you're doing that with an Orchestrator runbook.
Yep.
But when we go the Azure route, you're starting an SMA runbook. So this is that cross-cloud bit. Because if you're deploying virtual machines into Azure with Orchestrator, what are you using today? Is there anybody that's doing end-to-end provisioning with the native Azure integration pack with no PowerShell? Yeah, that's right, there's zero hands, because we're all using Azure PowerShell because it gives us so much more capability, right? It's a complex environment, so PowerShell makes it easy. Absolutely. So if I'm going to use PowerShell, perfect opportunity to jump over and use SMA.
Exactly. So here we start a new session to our SMA machine because that's where I have installed SMA PowerShell. So from Orchestrator, we just do a remote PowerShell session into SMA. And we start the runbook and we pass on the parameters. So we simply run the, let me see here, start SMA runbook commandlet. And Pete, that starts SMA runbook.
I appreciate that explanation.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks for clearing that up. Yeah. What he's got here is what, two lines of PowerShell or just some line wrap there, right? So we can trigger an SMA runbook with two lines of PowerShell. Now did you install the SMA PowerShell command list or something here?
No. That's why I do a remote session.
Okay, so PowerShell remoting. Are most of you using PowerShell remoting pretty heavily in Orchestrator today? Yeah? So we should really see a majority of hands there. So that's some of the takeaways we'll give you in the homework. Is PowerShell remoting is something you can leverage heavily in Orchestrator to your advantage, you know, especially given that Orchestrator today is a 32-bit app, right? And so we have some of those 32-bit, 64-bit challenges. Remoting makes that easy. SMA is only going to build on that, right? Because PowerShell workflow, by definition, tends to leverage PowerShell remoting heavily.
Right. So Orchestrator triggers SMA. This is the SMA runbook. We have the two parameters, the VM name and instance size. We go and pick up a couple of parameters we need. We need credentials for joining the domain, and we also need credentials for the local admin account on our new machine.
Now, so the credentials, you just inserted those assets, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Go and pick them up. We have a couple of settings over there. And then down here, we have the try, catch, finally trick. So we create to build a machine in Azure. And if that all works out, you can see down here, let me zoom here, so also you can see it, Pete. Update SharePoint.
That.
So that's another runbook that I have in SMA that I invoke. So everyone using Orchestrator, you know that I invoke runbook activities. So this is the same, but just one line. So we trigger the runbook named update SharePoint. We pass on the parameter VM name. And if we look at the update SharePoint runbook, we can see that it's not too complicated either. It starts a runbook that is, this is the runbook path in Orchestrator, the folder path and the runbook name. We pass on the parameter there, server, the VM name.
Yes. And so at the end of the day, what we have here are just series of PowerShell-like blocks of script, right? So what's nice about PowerShell workflows, we can have multiple run spaces. So if you think about a PowerShell console as being a run space, with workflow, I can have multiple consoles doing things at the same time and sharing information about their variables or not based on how I configure that workflow. That's all going to be in some of the homework that we'll send you away with.
Yeah, and so this one just triggered back to Orchestrator. So if you go back into Orchestrator, we have this small runbook here with standard SharePoint activities and standard Azure integration pack activities. So it gets the VM name, connects to Azure, downloads the remote desktop file for the new VM that we just created, uploads that to SharePoint and mark the request on SharePoint in the list there as completed. So if we go back into SharePoint, which we have here, we now have a link, remote desktop link to our server. So we can click on that, save, click on the server, and we can connect to our server in Azure. So it's quite easy. We started in SharePoint, started Orchestrator monitoring SharePoint, trigger SMA as it was in Azure. We want to do it with PowerShell. I guess it wants some credentials now. And then when SMA was done, it triggered another runbook that started a runbook in Orchestrator that updated SharePoint and marked the request as completed.
Yeah, so the pattern we hope you see here is when you're working in SMA, when we compare, invoking a runbook in SMA, we had two lines of PowerShell. Go out to MSDN and look what it takes to invoke a runbook in Orchestrator. It's a whole lot of lines of PowerShell. So the complexity factor is way low here. You know, some of the reading you're going to do will be around, you know, provisioning users and mailboxes, bringing on new locations in Active Directory. Surprisingly ordinary scenarios that, you know, most of us encounter today.
And if you want to look at this example, I have it on my blog, so you can just download all the run books from there.
Yeah, so everything that's here is just more stuff you can borrow with our compliments.
Absolutely.
And we have 11 minutes left, so we're going to get that third one in. So
absolutely.
Let's kind of go back and think about, I recognize some faces from some of our orchestrator sessions where we talked about automation efficiency, you know, and the core principles of runbook automation that we learned for Orchestrator still apply in SMA. So runbooks are going to be modular. Now in Orchestrator, you know, part of what drove our modularity was, you know, number one, we wanted to make function-specific reusable runbooks, but it was also because you could only fit so many icons on the screen, right?
Exactly. So in Orchestrator, we built everything from left to right, that's what we said you should do. But then when you came to the right side of the screen, there was like, even if you bought a bigger screen, it was not enough. But in SMA, we don't really have that challenge because we're writing scripts that way instead.
Okay, so don't be ashamed. How many of you ever put your orchestrator or runbook designer over on a bigger screen because you didn't have enough real estate for all your activities? I see some nods there. I'm not getting any hands. Yeah, we're not proud of that. Yeah, me too. Okay. Air handling. Of course, we want to build air handling in, and with the checkpointing capability and the built-in logging capabilities of SMA, the air handling is going to be much more granular, and our ability to go back and restart a workflow where it left off is much, much greater. You know, when we failed over in Orchestrator, where did we restart?
First activity.
Yeah, we were back at scratch, so we had to put a lot of activities together to go kind of figure out where we were and clean up whatever it was that was left over. So pre-development considerations still apply. You're going to write down all of your processes that you'd like to automate. You're going to find the wins in there where you're going to get some return on your investment. We're going to find the high frequency, technically feasible automation use cases. You're validating that your processes are still solid, right? Because what did we say about processes that suck outside of Orchestrator?
Sucks faster inside of Orchestrator.
So we take something that sucked faster in Orchestrator, and now we bring it over to SMA where it now sucks in parallel at high scale, and we can checkpoint to assess the damage
like
as we go along, right? So it's just exponentially more interesting at that point. So all of those rules, bottom line, still apply. We want to maximize runbook reusability, so we build that automation library that we can go back and leverage again and again over time. So what takes you a week today, you know, takes you a couple of hours a year from now, 2 years from now, after you've built up that big library. You've seen how easy it is to trigger Orchestrator runbooks from SMA, so if you've already got some hooks for ITSM integration in Orchestrator, do some of your heavy lifting over there in SMA and then trigger the runbooks in Orchestrator. Go update your SharePoint site, whatever you need to do to close that loop. It's not rocket science, honestly. So anything where you'd like to find that excuse to let SMA do some of the heavy lifting for you while you leave that friendly Orchestrator wrapper on things for some of your colleagues, you know, so be it.
Fantastic.
All right.
Yeah.
So extra credit. Here we go.
Before we even start this demo, we should it's fantastic. We just take a couple of seconds there. Like, fantastic. Yeah. This is really good. So as Pete said, in Orchestrator, we could fail over to a secondary runbook server, but we always restarted at the first activity. So it was a little bit challenged to handle that. You needed to add a couple of like a SQL table extra there where you did your state tracking manually. So in SMA, we have checkpoints. Ta-da. Like, whoa.
So show me how complicated a checkpoint is.
Yeah, so a checkpoint. Checkpoint is a checkpoint of a job that is like, it takes a snapshot of the job, including all input, output, the state of the job, everything around the job, and it stores it in the database. So that means that one worker could start, and then if that worker goes offline for some reason, maybe you do patching or something, another worker could pick up the job and continue exactly where the first worker left off.
Okay, so what about the failover model for the worker? So in Orchestrator, we've got that waterfall model, right, where everything piles up on the primary server, and then it fails over to the secondary when we hit our maximum or we take the primary down.
Yeah, we don't really do it that way in SMA. It's more like all workers can pick up job all the time, depending on the queue.
So load balancing is more or less, load is more or less automatic.
Yeah, exactly. But if you want to run it on a specific machine, you can always, in your code, do a remote session to that machine over there and run it over there. So you can control it in some way if you want to, but...
Yeah, so bottom line, it's going to behave in a fairly tidy, highly scalable way by default, unless you want to lock it down to a specific worker for some reason.
Exactly. So, if we now look at this, and it's all on my blog, contoso.se. There's all the details around how this works and examples if you want to try it. But this is really the key. Checkpoint minus workflow. It's not that complicated to implement. Like one, I helped you, Pete. You managed to get it to work.
Even Pete managed to get it to work, which says something. So you see a lot of runbooks on the left-hand side. Did you start from scratch, or where does all this come from?
So when you have installed SMA, you get a number of sample runbooks in your environment by default that you can use, and they include like all kind of examples that you need, like how to use parameters and credentials and invoke different systems and so on.
Yeah, some more stuff to borrow to show you how to use those assets, you know, the credentials, the connection info in your own runbooks. Now, what about exporting runbooks? So when I would export a runbook in Orchestrator, I'd export it with my schedules, my variables, my global configurations, and then I would import that in another environment. And I had to be careful about overwriting lots of other data, right?
So there's always
that.
Tricky.
Who's ever had that sort of moment of indecision when you're importing and you get that prompt about overriding an Orchestrator?
And you get it like, so, do you want to override? No. Sure. Yes. Sure. You don't want? Yes. No. Yes. No. And is that waiting for you to
respond? Yeah, so you go through this series of sort of prompts that make you feel just a little less sure of what you've done as you...
So in SMA, we do it with PowerShell. So you can export your definition of your runbook, your code, in one command, and then you can export and import and reconfigure all the assets with other commandlets. So you can really move that easily between environments, and you can automate it if you want to.
So bottom line, I'm not worried about overwriting anything, right?
No.
And I can't help but notice that our schedules, our variables, our credentials are all referenced by names. There's a lovely absence of any GUIDs there, so it's pretty simple in that respect.
Fantastic.
Now, so a couple of things are important there. Anders said you can export your runbooks with PowerShell. The second thing is you don't have to do that on your own. I'm going to tell you where you can go grab some Microsoft development aids that will help you with that export and import process automatically. So that's kind of neat and easy and not so built by you.
Before we go to that, we need to mention that you can have multiple checkpoints in your runbook, of course. So as soon as your runbook has done something that you don't want to redo, if it's interrupted, you can just place a checkpoint. But we only use the latest one. So even if you have 15 of them, we only use the latest one. So it's not like a VM that you can say, go back to this snapshot.
But the point with the checkpoint, though, is it's giving us, we're going to checkpoint after major activity, right? So there's a cost for checkpointing. But we're always going to be able to go back and pick up where we left off in terms of major activities without going to scratch and having to do a lot of investigation to figure out where we were.
So if you're good at implementing checkpoints in all your runbooks, it's easy if you want to reboot your worker, you just suspend all running jobs, reboot, patch, so on, maybe move it to another worker, and then just resume all the jobs again.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's fantastic.
Fantastic. So, thank you, Mr. Microsoft. So we got enough fantastics. He thankfully left laser focus. He didn't talk about a new era of automation. So tools out there to get you moving along. So number one, get smart. And what I mean by that is the SMA Runbook Toolkit. So go out to the TechNet gallery. You're going to find that some of the Microsoft engineering team have created some aids to help you more easily get started in SMA based on what you've already done in Orchestrator. So we've already kind of dispelled some of those myths about, you know, not importing modules and can't run PowerShell. That's crap and crap, right? So we know we can, you know, pick up that PowerShell and move it over. The SMA Runbook Toolkit gives us some what they call a runbook conversion helper. What it really is more of, shall we say, an inventory type. Gives me some visibility into what I have in Orchestrator.
It creates more like a skeleton of your runbook?
Yeah. It's not a true conversion, but it gives you sort of a leg up. There's some import and export aids out there. That's what I wanted to make sure you know. As you go get Smart, and it has some of that import-export capability that you need off the shelf. So there's, you know, if you start at, you know, 9 a.m. on Friday, by 5 p.m., you're going to be pretty well along in SMA within that first day. So samples, TechNet Gallery, the stuff is stacking up quickly. If you just go out and search on it on the SMA tag in the gallery, you're going to find, you know, entries in the dozens today. Anders is out there at contoso.se, and in case you missed that the first six times he mentioned it. I'm going to post for you tonight, I'll post a vSphere provisioning runbook for you for SMA, for those of you that haven't jumped on the Hyper-V train yet. And maybe I'll throw up a script block that I use in Orchestrator for PowerShell remoting and try-catch, because it looks shockingly like what Anders was showing you in SMA. So you'll get some parallel perspective there. Required reading. So I've got a hyperlink for you here. This deck is going to be uploaded as a PDF after the session, or maybe as the full PowerPoint. I don't know. I've got a little blog post I threw up the other day. It's a dozen articles, half a dozen by Don Jones, who we all know that, yeah, if we've heard of PowerShell, right? And then Richard Sideaway, one of his co-authors on books. So lots of fundamental principles, lots of simple examples to help you understand how sequential activities and parallel workflows shake out in SMA. And you're posting, you know, it seems like nothing but SMA stuff these days. Makes me think that maybe Anders knows something exciting about SMA coming in the near future. I don't know. I don't think it's an accident. So, you know, bottom line, you should really get started with SMA today. There's no tiny area, no mandate that you have to be using WAP, that you have to be provisioning, you know, to Hyper-V with WAP. We have a very powerful workflow engine that integrates pretty nicely with Orchestrator via the web service right off the shelf. Pick some small bits. You know, some of those articles out there, there's some great stuff like user onboarding, some very ordinary type workflows. Start with a quick win that you can show your colleagues, that you can show the boss. Import all the samples from the TechNet gallery. You get 20 or so, you know, by default, so you get a lot to borrow from and build on what we've talked about here today. And try some of that Orchestrator SMA integration. It's very empowering the first time you trigger a runbook in SMA with two lines of PowerShell. It's the simplicity makes me really want to use SMA as much as I can. Right now, you know, it's a really big universe, guys. Just get out there, explore, experiment. You know, we're going to announce a contest out in System Center Central with Microsoft soon. So we're going to be, you know, going to be a lot of incentives out there to get you moving very, very quickly. So, Bankston and Zerger out.